Last time we left off with Covenant, bereft and under a unilateral relationship. And so that's what the rainbow is, or the covenant Yahweh gave us, that the earth will not be flooded again. Now we're going into bilateral relationship. And that's a good one, is with Abram. In Genesis chapter 17, we'll read this. I'm going to do a lot of reading because I think it's important to get the comprehension, because in our society, I don't believe that we even really have a concept of what a covenant is. Why with Hebrews, it's completely integrated into their life. It was supposed to be. So 17, and we're going to read 1 through 14. And Wendy, could you read that?
Through 14?
Yeah, chapter 7.
And it came to pass that when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am Elohim Almighty, or El Shaddai. Walk thou before me and become thou blameless, that I may set my covenant betwixt me and thee, and may multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spake with him, saying, As for me, lo, my covenant is with thee, so shalt thou become father of a multitude of nations, and thy name shall no more be called Abram, but the name shall become Abraham, for father of a multitude of nations have I appointed thee. And I will make thee fruitful exceedingly, and grant thee to be nations, yea, kings out of thee shall come forth. And I will confirm my covenant betwixt me and thee and thy seed after thee to their generations for an age-abiding covenant, to become to thee an Elohim and to thy seed after thee. And I will give to thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an age-abiding possession. And I will be to them an Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, As for thee, my covenant must thou keep, thou and thy seed after thee to their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep betwixt me and you and thy seed after thee, to circumcise to you every male. So shall ye be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. So shall it become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised to you, every male to your generations. He that is born of the house, and he that is bought with silver of any son of a stranger who is not of thy seed, he must surely be circumcised, born of thy house or bought with thy silver. So shall my covenant be in your flesh for an age-abiding covenant. But as for the uncircumcised male who shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from among his people. My covenant hath he made void.
So we can see with a covenant you can make things void, as we know. And so circumcision was a sign of the covenant. And Yahweh's going to give him the land of Canaan as he obeyed Yahweh. You know, so what is this a sign of? This is a sign of a covenant. It's too bad that we don't have something today in Christianity that you would wear that signs, that shows you have a covenant with Christ and Yahweh. So it's outward manifested so the world would know it. I just kind of noticed that. So that was a bilateral. Abram, you know, obeys the word and circumcises children, and he's going to get the land of Canaan and be the father of many nations. Now we go to Exodus chapter 19, page 102. And we saw last time, Hesed is completely, goes along with covenant. Hesed is covenantal loyalty. It's reciprocal. It is not an option. It's duty. And I think of military, what was it, duty, honor, Marines or somebody like that, they would say duty, honor, something. And people got to realize it's not an option, it's your duty. It's not how you feel. Chapter 19, verse 4. Let's see here. And this is great. Okay, We're going 1 through 8. And in the third month, by the coming forth of the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, on this day came they into the desert of Sinai. Then was it that they break up out of Rephidim, and came into the desert of Sinai, and encamped in the desert, yea, Israel encamped even before the mountain. And when Moses had gone up unto Elohim, then called Yahweh unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, or Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, yea, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you upon wings of eagles, and brought you in unto myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed hearken to my voice, and keep my covenant, then shall you be mine as a treasure beyond all the peoples, for mine is all the earth. But ye shall be mine as a kingdom, a priest, and a nation, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sons of Israel. Then came Moses and called for the elders of the people, and put before them all these words, very important, which Yahweh had commanded him. And all the people responded together and said, All that Yahweh hath spoken will we do. And Moses took back the words of the people unto Yahweh. So that's entering into a covenant. Here's what I'm telling you to do. And these people said, we agree. Now you go to chapter 20, verse 1. Let's see, 1 to 3. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of service. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Here's the beginning of the covenant. This is what you're agreeing to. We go to 21:1. Now these are the regulations which thou shalt put unto them. We're still continuing. 22:1. When a man stealeth an ox or a sheep, and slayeth it. So we're still in our agreement. 23:1. Thou shalt not utter a false report. Okay. But I'm just showing you chapter after chapter after chapter is the covenant. This is what you're agreeing to. 23:1. Thou shalt not utter a false report. 24:1-8. And as you see, the heading above 24 says what?
The covenant finally ratified.
The covenant finally ratified. You have to both agree to it. You know, we're in a so-called age, I believe, which is very dangerous, where we start going into this unconditional love. And once I'm in, there's nothing on my part required of me. You know, if I said yay, that's all that's required of me, and I can live any way that I want. And which means that's not a covenant. You know, you didn't covet anything, is what it comes down to. You just accepted an invitation. Well, what's that on your part? What are you supposed to be? What did you agree to? Well, I just wanted to go to heaven. What do I need to do to go to heaven? Well, nobody's ever laid down. Here's what we're going to see. So here's the ratification. And unto Moses he said, you see here, I'm going through 8, come up unto Yahweh, thou and Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, so shall you bow yourself down from afar, and Moses alone shall draw near unto Yahweh, but they shall not draw near, and the people shall not come up with him. So Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, and all the people responded with one voice and said, what did they say, Melania?
All the words which Yahweh hath spoken will we do.
That's our covenant when we do Romans 10:9-10. It really was what it's coming down to. We're agreeing to lordship. And so here's what it is, but most people don't know what they're even agreeing to. Then wrote Moses all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the mountain, and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they caused to go up ascending sacrifices, and slew peace offerings to Yahweh of oxen. Then took Moses half of the blood. This is the ratifying of it. Mm-hmm. So a circumcision was also a ratifying. You know, the rings is a ratifying. When somebody agrees, and now I have a sign. Then took Moses half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood dashed he over the altar. Then took he the book of the covenant. Very important. This is what you're agreeing to. and read in the ears of the people. And they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do and will hearken. There you have it again. Then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has solemnized with you over all these words. So it's called the blood of the covenant. This is also with Christ, what they call the Last Supper. When he gave him a drink of the wine, he said, this is the blood of the covenant. Exact same words. A sign of the covenant that they were entering into. Now we go to 31, and that's in Mark 11, 22 to 24. We have a lot of reading, so we won't go there.
Are we going to Mark?
No, we're going to go to chapter 31. But then that ties that together. Remember, all the apostles and prophets were all Hebrews. Everybody knows covenant. They all know who's sent. They're raised this way. You know, y'all know that, you know, you would, you know, Hebrews were your family when they were working correctly, and you would die for your family. And so we know examples of this. Remember when Benjamin, killed one of the guy's concubines. And so he cut the concubine and sent to them and said, you're going to come and get Benjamin. And so it was an obligation. It's not a duty. Why? Because you're an Israelite. This is who you are. This is what you stand for. This is Hesed, and also this is Barith, or the covenant. Now we go to 31:18. And so by only reading the Old or the New Testament, all this is missing. It's there, but you can't see it. 31:18 to 32, to chapter 32:1. So I will start again. You see right here.
Second column.
Oh, there it is. Then gave he unto Moses, and as he finished speaking with him in Mount Sinai, the two tables of the testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of Elohim. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, up, make for us Elohims, who shall go before us. For as is Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. So really the 40 days that Moses was up there was not, 40 is the number of probation. Was not for Moses, it was for the children of Israel. If they could do it without Moses. And did they pass?
Nope.
No, they flunked. Flunked the probation period. Now we go to chapter, verse 15 and 19. 15 and 19. And Moses came down the mount, and Moses turned and went down out of the mount with the two tables of testimony, which is the covenant in writing. In his hand, tables written upon, on both sides of them, on this and on that were they written. Now as for the tables, the work of Elohim, they were, and as for the writing of Elohim, it was graven upon the tables. Isn't that nice how it just lays this out over and over, front and back, and not only the tables were made by Yahweh, Elohim, but the writing was done by him. And Yahushua heard the noise of the people as they shouted,
Joshua 17.
Yeah. Yahushua.
Okay.
That's his real name. It's Joshua, but Joshua's name is really Yahushua. It's not Joshua. And Yahushua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, so he said unto Moses, the noise of war is in the camp. But he said, not the noise of the war of heathenism, nor yet the noise of the cry of defeat, the noise of alternate song do I hear. And it came to pass when he drew nearer to the camp and saw the calf and the dancing that the anger of Moses kindled, and he cast out of his hands the covenant. That's what this is on here. The covenant is now broken and breaks him in pieces at the foot of the mountain. So what you've got to realize is there's no covenant. You said everything. You said right here, we will do what you agreed to. Mm-hmm. And he goes up and gets it right, and they come down, and they're not agreeing to what they did. It's only been 40 days, a month and a half, and all of a sudden, and he breaks them right at their feet to say, there's no covenant.
It's like throwing an engagement ring back at
somebody. Yeah, so it gives you an understanding. Now we go to Leviticus chapter 26. And so when we think of grace many times, and so we're thinking of unconditional, we've been taught all these different things, and we've got to realize that we're not we're told we're not responsible for anything. That Yahweh is just happy that we stepped over the line. And that's all we have to do. We just step over, here's a line, and now we're in heaven, bound, and that's all we got to do. And that's a sad state, because they're looking for a covenant. They're looking for a dedication. They're looking for fidelity. But guess what? All right, you redeemed me and died for me. Do I owe you? Yeah, I owe you. I owe you big time. How long do I owe you?
Ever.
All of my life. Because I wouldn't be alive without you. And so nobody, no different than a person who took you out of a concentration camp in Russia and ended up dying to get you out of a concentration camp, which you were going to die, and got you to the United States, and this person died in the process. What do you owe their family? You owe them your life. Mm-hmm. Are you going to serve them for the rest of your life because of what their husband did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Don't even think twice about it. Of course. It's why? Because it's owed. That's why. Do I feel like it? No. But it, you know, but it's owed. That's why, because that's what a person would do. 26:1-15. And this is great. You shall not make unto you idols, neither images nor pillars shall you set up for yourselves, nor a sculptured stone shall you place in your hand to bow yourself down thereunto. For I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. Is this part of the covenant? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And my Sabbath shall you observe, and my sanctuary shall you revere. I am Yahweh. If in my statutes you will walk, and my covenants you will do, observe and do them, then will I give you your rain in their season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So he's saying, here's the upside, here's what we're agreeing to, and here's, if you do what I've commanded you to do, here is what you're, and look what behind door number 3. You get all this. And then shall your threshing reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the seed time, and you shall eat your food to the full, and shall dwell securely in your land, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and nothing shall make you afraid. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what are these promises? And I will take away vicious beast out of the land, and the sword shall not go through your land, and you shall chase your foes, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So shall your foes fall before you by the sword, and I will turn unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. There we go. I'll establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, well seasoned, and the old from the new shall you put forth, and I will set my habitation in your midst, and my soul shall not abhor thee. But I will walk to and fro in your midst, and will be unto you an Elohim, and ye shall be unto me a people. Wow. Here's the creator of everything condescending himself to make it a contract with man. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim, brought ye forth out of the land of Egypt. So just remember this. This is over and over and over and over again. You were doomed. You were slaves. I undid that. You were doomed, you were slaves, and that's the same way with us. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, and Christ redeemed us. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. So I break in pieces the staves of your yoke and cause you to walk erect. Wow. But if you will not hearken unto me, and then it goes. And here is, if you break our covenant, here's what the results are going to be. Now we go to, let's see here. Turn back. Let's go to verse 40 and 45. Now when you break your covenant and you lose all this stuff, guess what? The door is not permanently closed. And that's with all of our sin. Oh my, what did I do? I took a year off and I'm in sin and I'm just, I'm in prison. And he says, okay. Verse 40. Then shall they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their unfaithfulness wherewith they had been unfaithful towards me. Yea, moreover, because they had gone in opposition to me. I also must need go into opposition to them and bring them into the land of their foes, save only that if even then their uncircumcised hearts shall be humbled, and even then they will accept as a payment the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, or Jacob. Yea, moreover, my covenant with Isaac, yea, moreover, my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and the land will I remember, for the land shall be left of them, and shall be paid her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them. They also accepting as a payment the punishment of their iniquity, because yea, because my regulations they refuse, and my statutes their soul abhorred, and yet even so, when they are in the land of their foes, I have not refused them. This is so great. Neither have I abhorred them to make an end of them, to break my covenant with them. For I, Yahweh, am their Elohim. Therefore I will remember on their behalf the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their Elohim, I, Yahweh. So you can even come back. Now we go to Deuteronomy 29, page 228. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we'll read just verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to solemnize with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he solemnized with them in Horeb. And we're going to, this is with the context. Now we go to 25.
Chapter?
Yeah, same chapter, verse 25 through 28. And you want to read that, Tim?
Verse 25, then will men say, because they forsook the covenant of Yahweh, thy Elohim, of their fathers, which he solemnized with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and bowed down to them, gods which they had not known and which he had given them no share. Therefore did the anger of Yahweh kindle upon the land to bring in upon it all the curse that is written in the scroll, and therefore hath Yahweh rooted them out from off their own soil in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as at this city. At this day.
Yeah, so that's what happens. Let's go to same books, chapter 22, verse 29.
22?
Chapter 22.
Backwards.
Yeah, Deuteronomy. Okay. Yeah, we're going back. 22. Here's just an example, little parentheses, of sexual intercourse that is a covenant. It's a ratification of a covenant, whether you realize it or not. And our society doesn't realize that. 22, verse 28 and 29. When a man findeth a damsel that is a virgin who is not betrothed, and layeth hold of her and lieth her, and they are found, then shall the man who laid with her give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. So this just shows you an example of this is how solemn marriage is. And you know, the consummation is, you know, circumcision was to the covenant of Yahweh. With marriage is sexual intercourse. That's just a little side note. Now we go to 26, chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. And we can see right now on TV, it's just rampant. It's just what Sodom and Gomorrah is. That's what it comes down to. That's why we don't like kids watching TV.
Okay, chapter what?
Chapter 26, verse 16 through 18. And you see right above it, what's it say? Coveting of vows.
Covenanting.
This day is Yahweh thy Elohim command thee to do these statutes and the regulations. Thou shalt therefore observe and do them with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Then hast a vow today that Yahweh shall be thy Elohim, and that thou wilt walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his regulations, and will hearken unto his voice. You know, can you become a Christian and not agree to that? Well, let's think about that. You know, we're going to see this. You know, so we've got, I think, so much of it. Well, I don't think you have to agree to this. Can you become a Christian and say, I'm not going to love Yahweh my Elohim with all my heart, my soul, and my strength? Can I become a Christian and not agree to that?
the Ten Commandments.
Because if I agree to that, then I am making a covenant, right? I'm agreeing to do something. Not that I'm not going to fail at different times and be disappointed, but I'm still in the same situation. Can you, because we look at, well, it's grace, not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Well, can you even do this? Can you say, you know, Jesus, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not going to always obey what you tell me to do. I'm going to tell you that up right front. Is He my Lord?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. He's not my master, because I already told you up front, I'm not going to do everything.
You're not the boss.
You know, so you've got to realize these are covenant relationships that we're entering into. Now, I'm going to exempt children. Because children can't, you know, and so they got the Holy Spirit. They're not the age where, you know, they entered in one phase, but they're not the age until probably 15, 16, 17, or 18 where they make that jump into that commitment, because otherwise they're just following their parents. Mm-hmm. So we got to realize there's an exception with children. Because they're 6 years old, 7 years old, and they say, you're going to Jesus,
you
obey. Yeah, are you going to do the commandments? Yes, I am. I mean, so there's no way any court would ever put them under, you know, you can't make decisions like that because you're not of age. And Yahweh knows that. Let me see here, 18, and Yahweh hath a vow today that thou shalt be, you know, so let's just do 17 again. Two parts. Thou hast a vow today that Yahweh will be thy Elohim, and that thou wilt walk in His ways and keep His statutes and His commandments and His regulations and will hearken unto His voice. Very simply. Okay, you guys said this, right? Well, here's what Yahweh says. And Yahweh hath a vow today that thou shalt be His people as a treasure, as He spake unto thee, and that thou shalt observe all His commandments, and have vowed that He will set thee on high above all the nations which He hath made, for praise and for renown and for glory, and that thou shalt be a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim, as He hath spoken. Isn't that great? Wow, that's a great deal. Making a covenant with the Creator. I mean, it's all upside. Joshua chapter 24.
It's like Donald Trump going, I want to go into business with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've got $10,000, well, I'm going to put in $10 million. Okay. Are we equal partners? Yeah, we're equal partners.
So what did you say, Joshua?
Yeah, Joshua 24. You're like, wow. But it's our hard heart that we're like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. 24 verse 19, page 258. Then said Yahushua unto the people, I love this. You cannot serve Yahweh, for holy Elohim, He is a jealous El, He is. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. When you forsake Yahweh, have served the Elohims of a stranger, then will He turn and inflict on your calamity and consume you, that after He had dealt with you. But the people said unto Yahushua, what?
No.
Nay. But Yahweh will we serve. Okay. They're entering a covenant again. Then said Yahushua unto the people, witness are you against yourself. This is why in a marriage we make a public witness of the covenant we're entering into. And I think in our part we've done a terrible job of the covenant, which we're going to discuss. This is also Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Speak it out loud.
Well, that is for people can witness that you have agreed to make Yahushua your Lord, which means you're agreeing to live for Him as servant. Is that what you're agreeing to? Well, wait a minute here. Servant? You know, I mean, so you start, well, this is the altar cover. That's not, but that's what you're agreeing to. Well, what do I have to serve? Good point. I said, look at the things you're required to do. Is that all right? That is, you know, is that going to save you? No, because mankind has to have a redeemer, so we don't save ourselves. All right, but we have to enter agreement to say, I want in, and I don't want the world, I want you. It really comes down to, we make a choice. And we can never justify and save ourselves. Where was it? Okay. Yeah, it was on 19. Let me see. Oh, yeah, but nay. Okay, 22. Then said Yahushua unto the people, witnesses are ye against yourselves, that ye yourself has chosen you, Yahweh, to serve him. And they said, witnesses. Okay, we're going to put this in writing. Now therefore, put you away the Elohims of the strangers that are in your midst, and incline your heart unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. He's writing these people. He knows they got secret stuff in their tents. God.
Your secret stashes.
Yeah, your stash. Oh, I got pot under here. I got my Playboy magazines, or I've got something else hidden. And the people said unto Yahushua, Yahweh our Elohim will we serve, and unto his voice will we hearken. That's what we want. So then Yahushua solemnized a covenant for the people on that day, and set for them a statute and a regulation in Shechem. And Yahushua wrote these words in the scroll of the law of Elohim, and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was at the sanctuary of Yahweh. And Yahushua said unto all the people, lo, this stone shall serve against us as a witness, for it hath heard all the saying. So it's very important to say, this is, we would need a witness. This stone is for all the sayings of Yahweh, which he has spoken with us, so shall serve against you as a witness, that you shall act deceptively against your Elohim. Now we know Yahushua entered a covenant with Yahweh when he was born. We don't have to go there, but that's Psalms 2, 7 through 9. If you do this, you're going to be my son and you're going to reign. You're going to be king of all the earth. That's Psalms 110, 1 through 4. Isaiah 11, 52. Isaiah 11, chapter 52. Chapter 52, chapter 53. Now we go to Luke, chapter 10. Page 70. Now we start getting a heading home with us. So I told last time with the kids and adults, be very careful on what you promise to do. Make your words, and like Christ said, very simple, make it, I don't have to swear by anything. It's yea, yea, or nay, nay. If I say I'm coming, I'm going to be there. If I say I'm coming and I don't show up, my words are null and void. So make sure our words are accurate. Chapter 10, verse 25. And so we see right here, here's it, you know, and lo, a certain lawyer arose, putting him to the test. Yahushua is saying, teacher, by what shall I, by doing what shall I inherit life, age, abiding? And he said unto him, in the law what is written, how sayest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt Ahab Yahweh the Elohim, out of all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with thy intentions, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, rightly has I answered, do this and thou shalt live. There's the covenant. You know, it's very simple. The covenant is, do this, and what do I get? I get life, age, abiding. Okay, perfect. Now we go to Romans 10:9. Well, I think you don't even have to go there. We all know that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yahushua is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that Yahweh awoke him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. In the heart it is believed unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I never quite got the whole mouth thing. You're like, you know, I can make him Lord quietly, right? And nobody needs to know. And well, you didn't realize you're entering a covenant. Mm-hmm. And you need witnesses to say, you know, that to do this. Now we go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see the same situation. Let's just go through our age or our administration. We're not under the Levitical law, which we know. And we're going to see that in the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. And so here is they call altar call. Okay, people, you killed him. But guess what? Yahweh, let's go in 34. Mm-hmm. For David hath not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, said Yahweh unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand till I make the foes thy footstool. I surely know that all the house of Israel know that both Lord and Christ, or Master and Messiah, hath Elohim as Yahweh made him. Even the same Yahushua whom you crucified, he's Lord. What does that mean? Well, the Lord means you're going to obey him. And when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the disciples, what are we to do, brethren? And Peter said unto them, repent ye, change direction, turn, you're on the wrong direction, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Christ into the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the free gift of the Holy Ruach. That was it. And that's the covenant by entering into it. By making him Lord, and we go to chapter 10, verse 34, the house of Cornelius, which is really more like our age, because these were still Hebrews, and they were still under the Mosaic law, to a great, or not the, I would say the Levitical law. 10:34-43. And so Peter's trying to figure this out. So with the house of Cornelius, the church, the Christian church, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, didn't begin on Acts 2, but actually began on Acts 10, because that's when the Gentile believed. And let's see here, 34. And Peter, opening his mouth, said, of a truth I find that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and does what?
Worketh
righteousness is acceptable unto him. So, I mean, there's, and so people got to realize, you know, it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. We have to incorporate these two concepts. You know, I'm all a sinner, we're all sinners, it doesn't make any difference. But let's go to chapter 10, verse 1. But a certain man in Caesarea by name Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian, devout and fearing God with all his house, doing many alms unto the people and supplicating Yahweh continually. Was this a righteous guy?
Yeah.
Yes, he was. That's, you know, well, righteousness doesn't count. Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
He was noticed.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, this is why he came to him. Let's go, there's 34, I mean, we're back to 34, and 36, and as touching the words which he had sent unto the sons of Israel, announcing the glad tidings of peace through Mashiach Yahushua, the same is what?
Lord
of all. So to us, Lord just doesn't mean anything. You know, it just,
master.
It is master. Well, wait a minute, I don't kneel to anybody. That's just in our heart. I don't bow to anybody. You know, I used to get upset when a judge would enter and they'd say, oh, rise. I was almost indignant. Why do I have to rise because this guy has a robe on? You know, so that's a bad heart. But he's Lord of all. You yourselves know that what has come to pass throughout the whole of Judea, but we know that they ended up receiving salvation and they received the Holy Spirit without being circumcised. Because in their hearts, obviously, and with their mouth, they confess Yahushua as their Lord. Let's see here. Now we go to 15, Acts 15. Verse 5. Now they were talking to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles are involved. And a thing came up. But there I stood before, 15:5. For there had stood forth some of them who from the sect of Pharisees had believed, saying, it is needful to be circumcising them, also to charge them to be keeping the law of Moses. So now we address the situation. So this came up to the apostles, and the conclusion is in verse 29. Yeah, let's just go 28. For it seemed good unto the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, and unto us no greater burden to be laying upon you than these necessary things, to the abstaining from idol sacrifices, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall prosper. Fare you well. Okay, so the Mosaic, the Levitical law is gone. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that you don't commit murder, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness, you don't do all these other things. Now, if you go to 1 John,
that'd be the moral law.
Yeah, that'd be the moral law. 1 John, page 247, chapter 3. And it's all the way through here in John. 322. And whatsoever we are asking, we are receiving from Him, because His commandments are we keeping, and the things that are pleasing before Him are we doing. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Yahushua Mashiach, and be loving one another, just as He gave His commandment unto us. And he that keepeth His commandment, in him abideth, and he in him. And thereby perceive we that He abideth in us by reason of the Ruach which unto us He has given. Now 4:21. And this commandment we have from Him. Now we're thinking, I think, in the church today are so many. Now you had one extreme where you're Baptist, and the whole incentive was, if you don't do the commandments, you're going to fry in hell. You know, that was, you know, as we know, there's no hell. You know, people are either going to live or they're going to perish, but there is judgment, and people are going to pay for the unrighteousness they've done if they haven't already amended for it. So we know that. So
outstanding balances.
Yeah, and so everybody's going to be judged according to their works. And so if you've done bad works, you confess your sins. And if you stole from somebody, you restore them to the best of your ability. And it, good. That's not going to be brought to the judgment seat because you've already taken care of it. 4:21, and this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth Yahweh loveth his brother also. Okay. Let's go to 5, verse 2 and 3. Hereby perceive we that we love the children of Yahweh, as soon as Yahweh we love, and his commandments we are doing. For this is the love of Yahweh, that his commandments we be keeping, and his commandments are not burdensome. Oh yeah, very good. Galatians 5:13, page 194. Well, Paul, you know, this is where it comes into. It's the Pauline epistles that we're trying to reconcile, which they have to come together in this particular fashion. We have to understand one in the light of the other. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. 5:13 and 14. For ye on a footing of freedom were called, brethren, only turn not your freedom into an occasion to the flesh, but by means of your love be serving one another. For the whole law in one word is summed up, namely is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. Is that still part of the program?
Yep.
With the church epistles? Yes, it is. Still part of the program. Now, we must, you know, loving thy neighbor as thyself is not complete. Why? Because now when I get into fornication, if I don't know anything written on fornication, and if it's consensual fornication, well, I'm not hurting anybody. This person's happy, I'm happy. It feels good. You know, let's say a native. They don't have the Bible. You know, it's just consensual. You know, so there's many things out there that we would do that, you know, here, so my husband likes to put on women's clothes. It's not hurting anybody. All right? But, and so loving thy neighbor doesn't fit into these, it doesn't cover all the things. So we have to know a lot more out there when it's not actually hurting somebody. Or the other thing, too, is when do I kill somebody? Well, yeah, you're going to kill your neighbor sometimes. Oh, wait a minute, that's not loving thy neighbor. Well, yes, it is. You know, but Yahweh's going to tell you to kill him if it comes down to it, if he needs a death penalty. So we go to Romans 13, and so we've got to understand that, too, to say, well, everything's summed up, yeah, but not everything. But we have the concept. It's very important. And we're going to show you that. Romans 13. This is Paul also, 8-14. For this, that's page 162, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. It would be hard not to, if Yahweh said, you know, if they didn't tell you coveting, then you would say, I don't see anything wrong with just thinking about things. You know, I'm not hurting anybody, so that could be, I'm not hurting my neighbor, I'm just like things. I'm going to think these thoughts. And if there is any different commandment, in this word is summed up, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love unto one's neighbor worketh not ill. Law's fulfillment, therefore, is love.
Fullness.
Law's fullness, therefore, is love. So we see, now let's go on here. Knowing the season, it is an hour ready for you out of a gyro, out of sleep to be awoken. But for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day hath drawn near. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light as in daytime becoming. Let us walk, not in reveling and in drunken bouts, not in. Now, are these commands? No, not in reveling and in drunken bouts, not in chambering and in wanton deeds, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, and for the flesh take not forethought to fulfill his covenant. Okay, so, got a deal here. Go hand this out, Melania. People. So here's a thing I found on the internet, and I've kind of revised it. But here's 1,050 New Testament commands. Huh. Yeah, I thought we were done with that. You know, there's 600 Old Testament laws, and now we don't have to do any of those anymore. Well, now, I revised it to say New Testament commands, requests, and exhortations. But let's look at just seven abstained around the first line.
I'm sorry.
You see that?
Yeah.
Well, wait till Melania gets ready. So abstain from idols, abstain from fornication, abstain from strangled meats, abstain from eating blood, abstain from meat offering to idols, abstain from all appearance of evil, abstain from fleshly lust. Are these commands? Or are they requests? Do you think that's a request? Or a command? So probably a command. How about seven things to avoid? Troublemakers, profane and vain babblings, false science, unlearned questions, foolish questioning, genealogy, arguments about the law. Cool. Two things to awake to righteousness, awake to life. You know, and it goes, you know, 74 B's, be exceedingly glad, be reconciled to a brother, be perfect, be wise as serpents, be harmless as doves, be ready for Christ's coming, be content with your wages, be merciful. And goes on and on and on. So we got 12 pages of this. And I think when a person is going to get married with a covenant, they should say, I'm going to sign off on these. This is what I'm pledging to do for my wife and my family. And when I fall short, I will admit that I fell short, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness and do that also. And or come up with your own, but you get very specific. And our marriage vows, they stink. I mean, it has nothing to do with covenant. It is for, you know, till death do us part, for better or for worse. I mean, it's just such a vague terminology. It means nothing. It's not enforceable. You know, you can't say, you didn't do this. So we got 12 pages of that. So.
What do you mean 12 pages?
Yeah, so this is page one.
Oh.
There's 11 more pages. Huh. Of 1,000 commands.
Oh, well, you want us all to memorize these.
Well, if you want them, I can print them out. So I'm going to put them on our website. But 30's be not. Be not like the hypocrites in prayer. Be not like the heathen in prayer. Be not as hypocrites. So let me just go through some of these. Just page by page. You don't have. Four things to believe. Believe the gospel. Yahweh's existence on Yahushua Mashiach. Yahweh rewards diligent seeking. Two things to endure, hardship, sufferings. Whom to fear? Yahweh. 10 things to follow, Christ, love, God, righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, meekness, peace, holiness. 7 things about giving. Whom to give to? Him that asked, needy saints, God. Whom not to give to? Give not holy things to rebels. Give no place to Satan. So it goes on and on and on. 100 lets. Let your light shine. Let your conversation be yea, nay. Let your enemy have your cloak. Let blind leaders alone. Let everyone deny themselves. So these are the lets. 100 of those.
So somebody,
went through all this stuff, and you're like, I'm great.
Yeah,
you know, let us walk. You know, here's 42, let us. Let us walk honestly. Let us cast off works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. So are these commands, you know, an exhortation request? Yes, they are. Well, I thought we were not in the law. Because Paul, and these are all out of the epistles. And so we've got to reconcile, bring these two together to say that this all fits.
Guess what? The party's over.
Two things not to love. The world, things in the world. Can I love the world? No, I cannot love the world. Eight things to think on. Think about your true self, about true things. Things honest, pure, just, holy, good report. One way to think. Think soberly. Follow peace and holiness. Forbear one another. Render no evil for evil. Repent. Resist not evil. Or resist not evil. Resist the devil. Restore, you know, and it goes on and on.
Resist not evil?
Well, I have to check that out, but...
But these are
just over and over and over again. I thought, why never even consider this? I'm not even thinking in this direction, and that we have covenants in the now, and we need to with our children to say when you get to this age of accountability, you need to say, "Are Christ, are you going to be my Lord now? Now that I can actually support myself and everything else, are you going to be my master, which I'm going to serve? And these are the things that you're going to do. And then if you are, let us know, and we'll do a public witnessing. And we'll put it on the record, you know, that you witness. And we'll make a ceremony.
And have a rock.
Yeah. Now, so the Christian age and covenant, not an unconditional age of love. It's not a unilateral covenant. So it's really, it's like Christ died, gave us all life age abiding, and that's it.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. You
know, well, no, because you have to. It's not,
I know it's
every
not
mankind.
Right. That's what I thought.
You have to come into this picture somehow. Our part is that we make Christ our master. We do not... We do His will, which is our Father's will. Lordship is a covenant arrangement. And I think very finalize it is 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. This is what we should all know. For the love of Christ constrains us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died. And in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live, no longer live for themselves, there it is, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. Yeah, died and awoke. That's the agreement, guys. You know, you're like, wow, that's a big commitment, right?
But you also have to show what you receive.
Well, that's what
you,
I'm saying. Hey, he's on my field. Yeah. Two can chase 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to get fruit. I'm going to get rain on me. I'm going to get everything on here. Yeah. Am I going to be hated? Yes, I will be hated.
I'll be liked by
him. Am I going to be persecuted? Yes, I will be persecuted. That's part of the deal. But I'm going to get life age abiding. I'm going to get fellowship. I'm going to get this. And are people going to try to tear away from me? Yeah, tear this away from me? Yes, they are. But then this is think about this for a month. Dwell upon it, and then in or out.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready yet, okay. Just don't say it if you don't mean it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Yeah. It was neat because at weddings they say if there's anybody that should disagree that these two should be married, and nobody ever does.
Yeah.
But that's reminds me of what Yehoshua did when he says, "Will you go into a covenant with Yahweh?" They said that we will. He said, "No, you won't." It's like he objected.
Okay.
You can't do it.
Yeah. But that's it. So that's the verbal agreement, and that's it. But it's a great relationship. Who would ever turn that down? Now we'll talk afterwards.
Don't forget that there's a good side. There's another side to this. All the joy and the.
Well, no, yeah, we already know that. We've already read all the B-nows, no more fun. But we just read all about it, about you're going to get fruit, you're going to have happiness, and the enemy is going to flee from you. I mean, you're like, and if you don't do this, what are you going to get the other thing? Well, Yahweh can't assist you.
Yeah, no favor.
It really comes down to you walk in darkness, you sow darkness, you're going to get darkness. So now we're going to end. Well, and we have a prophecy for people listening or viewing. Well, Father, we thank you for these words, for the covenant, and understanding covenant and Hesed. Lord, we thank you for these words according to 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Christ, for pouring out Holy Spirit that we can actually do this. My sons and daughters, as you begin each day and as you contemplate, peace from adversity, from hatred and love, focus in upon my words of life and enjoyment and peace. And as you abide in my word, you will receive that peace and that harmony and that purpose that will never be taken from you as you commit yourself to doing what I've told you to do. Be at peace and know that I abide in peace and I will abide in you as you allow me to. Amen. See you next week.